Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
So in the middle of last night's Mets-Padres game, Tiki and I get the text messages. Oh, they're showing you on TV.
Great, it's automatic. You got, man.
It's automatic. When I go to a game with, you know, myself or some friends of mine, they don't show me. Why would they? But when Tiki's there, TV time.
Well, that's only because they knew, SNY that is, that I was going to be on the show later that night.
I saw
Tiki's
that.
Tiki's with Tuesday.
And you do
Tuesdays with Tiki.
So not only are you on SNY every day, Evan and Tiki 4 to 6, you also do Tuesdays with Tiki.
That's right.
We'll get to that later, too, because I cut that clip. But I still haven't heard what Gary, Keith, and Ron said about us.
Oh, I don't know either.
So let's take a listen. Last night's Met game, Mets have a big lead. They're coming back from a commercial break, and they pop on the legendary running back, Tiki Barber, and the schmuck who scores Met games.
Evan and Tiki, they work together. They play together. Now, they are at the ball game. What are you eating there, Evan? Evan is a lefty, keeping score. What you got going there? Are those fries? He's trying to talk and eat at the same time. That's never a good idea.
I seen a dose of cheese.
Well, it's, they're off hours.
Yeah. We can't do that. We're working.
Well, during the game.
Well, there's a lot there. First of all, okay. Keith is very jealous of your Dos Equis.
Yes, and it was my Dos Equis, not Evan's Dos Equis.
No, it's not.
Evan doesn't immediately get to the ballpark and go buy a tall boy. Like I did.
Nah, it's a Tiki thing.
I missed it. Whose home run?
Brett Beatty.
I missed Brett Beatty's home run because we got there at the same time. But I missed it because I was getting a Dos Equis.
Was it worth it?
Yes. Yes. So especially after the traffic.
Oh, no, I get it. Me too. I missed part of the bottom of the first thing, which sucked. So, yes, Tiki had the Dos Equis. Yes, I am a lefty, which is a hard life. For anyone who's a lefty, it is not easy growing up as a lefty. You smear all the time when you're writing to school.
Oh, well, you and Orphan Annie.
Yeah, we have a lot in common, me and Orphan Annie. I was eating a pastrami sandwich.
Is that pastrami?
Delivered to me as a surprise from Sean Morash.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, in the video, you can see me having a perplexed look while speaking to someone to my right.
Yes.
It was Sean, because Sean was telling me he doesn't like pastrami. And I'll give him some of my meat. I couldn't get that around my head.
Yeah. He also said, I'm shocked by this.
I couldn't believe it.
You don't like pepperoni?
No pepperoni, no corned beef, no pastrami.
You're missing out.
I'm not missing out. I've had it. I don't like it.
How do you not like it?
When did you have it? When you were like four?
I go back. So I am actually very big on your taste buds change every few years.
They definitely do.
I will go back and round up the troops and try to do a pepperoni in like an antipasto platter or like a pepperoni slice. Again, like my kids like pepperoni. I hate it. Vile weed.
Wow. That's harsh. But I do appreciate it. He bought me the pastrami and it took me like five innings to eat it because it's very messy.
Yeah.
And I didn't want my scorebook to mess up. So, like, every half inning, I would take three bites. Then I'd put it down, and I'd continue.
You know, it's funny. I did notice. I was like, man, that's taking a long time. Like, how big is this pastrami sandwich?
It is
it
big.
It is taking you a long time to eat this thing, Evan.
But it takes him a long time because he's got to score the game, and he doesn't want it dripping on the scorebook.
So no, that's the key.
Evan has talked about how much he likes his pastrami, so I went. Well, I got my bucket of cookies. I got his pastrami.
Given how Evan treats his scorebook, I'm surprised something else didn't drip on his scorebook.
Yeah. More so, on later on in the evening, Tiki does his Tuesdays with Tiki. Tiki's, and he's asked about my scorebook. Take a listen.
Tiki, great to see you, but I got to ask. So when Evan goes to the restroom, are you ever tempted to mess with his scoring book, change a hit to an E4, do some erasing in there at all?
Eamon, he takes it with him. He took it to the restroom.
He put it under his arm. Like it was, I don't know, the Constitution or something. It was unbelievable.
Can't miss a play.
I would watch it, but he doesn't trust me, I guess.
It's not about not trusting you, Teague. It's ask yourself a question.
Yes.
What good can come from me keeping my book in the hands of you, Sean, or Loogie?
I mean, I am not going to disrespect your property.
What if you drop the Dos Equis?
I would not drop a Dos Equis because it was empty.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. What if Sean comes over and says, I want to scribble? What if Tommy comes over and says, I want to scribble?
We wouldn't do that. Evan, background, witnessed you bring this into the bathroom yesterday. You were so focused on making sure nobody touched your scorebook, you didn't even know it was me that tapped you on the shoulder and said, you all right.
Yeah, I thought it was a listener.
It was a listener. You had this thing tucked like Tiki started tucking the footballs when he learned how to not fumble. It was unbelievable. But for you to say, what if somebody spills on it? You stepped up to a urinal.
Dribble.
Exactly.
Unquestioned microscopic splashes on that scoreboard. Definitely. Unquestioned. That's disgusting.
He's got a great point. And even if we do doodle on it, Evan, what does it matter?
I mean, what does it matter? It's my property.
We doodle on
it. Doodle on it.
You're doodling on it.
Say it one more time.
We're doodling on it. You're doo-dooing on it.
I'm not doing anything on it. It's under my arm while I
quickly
go to the bathroom. My hand never touches it. It's under my arm. I go. Then I go to wash my hands, still under my arm. Like, it never touches anything.
Science. You need to take some science classes.
There's always a ricochet off a urinal, and I question how long you wash your hands if you have a scorebook under it, because you're probably in and out of there. You should just leave it with Tiki. I understand not me or Sean, but Tiki's not going to do anything.
I'd probably wash my hands for 5 seconds, which is not long enough, but better than nothing would be the way I would answer that. Plus, not to get into the weeds on this, I never really have to touch anything. Like, I just...
You then touched your pastrami sandwich.
No, I never have to touch anything. Like...
So you don't zip up again?
So hold on a second.
Other than
you go to the restroom?
Other than the unzip
without
and the
touching anything.
I don't have to. I don't want to get into details, but I guess it's easy for me. I don't have to unzip or upzip. Other than that, I just lean in, I go, I zip it back up, I'm done. I never touch anything.
Imagine you're the guy next to him at the urinal.
You're free now that you're free riding down there?
Maybe.
But I don't understand. Does snuffleupagus actually pull down your pants? You're still touching something.
I'm touching my jeans. That's it.
Yeah, but you're touching them in a slide down. There is a graze there of an area that needs hand washing.
Not really. Not really. And I'm never even touching the door into the bathroom because the door is always open. I'm going at a time where the inning is over. I never touch anything. I only wash my hands for the perception. I wash my hands in case some guy sees it and wants to tweet, Evan's a pig. I only wash my hands for the people. I don't even need to wash my hands because there's no touch. There's a touch of nothing. So my book is fine, my hands are fine, and it was all good.
But what about the guy that's next to you? Maybe he doesn't know who you are, and you're sitting there at the urinal with a scorebook under your arm, and you're not using your hands. Like, what is that? I understand you're in and out.
I have never gone to the bathroom, and remember, there are dividers, at least where I go. It's a very clean bathroom, as Frank the Tank pointed out last night on social media, backing me up. It's a very clean bathroom up there in that Piazza Club. There's dividers.
Yeah.
No one should ever notice what the person next to you is doing unless you're peeking. And if you're peeking, that's on you. I'm not a peeker. I don't care what other people are doing. I would assume no one should care what I'm doing.
He wants to see my penis.
That was a very special occasion. That was a very unique situation.
I had to know.
But either way, yes, it's all true. I took the scorebook into the bathroom, and it all worked out fine. I have it with me right now. Does this feel dirty? This scorebook?
No.
Because it was in the bathroom?
I'm never touching that again.
Stop it. I didn't even know it was Sean. When I went into the bathroom, someone tapped me on the shoulder. I was like, who the hell is this?
I'm so offended.
I literally said back, thanks for listening.
And speaking of which. Yeah, exactly. I came back to the seats. I said, are you kidding me?
That was nice.
And the moment I rounded back after getting that, two people in the last row yelled, are you positive, Tommy? To which I said, no. I couldn't have felt more disrespected in 6 minutes. But, Evan, you're fixing the point. Oh, nobody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
He has to worry about my scorebook. I'm in a bathroom, no splash zone. You ripped out a page of your scorebook and handed it to a woman last night to keep score. She got a urine page.
So, by the way, what he is referring to,
it was not a woman, it was a man.
It was a man. He doesn't even know the story.
You said he was giving it to his mother.
Yeah, he was ended up giving it to his mother. That's true. This has never happened to me in the thousands of games I've been to. So, like, people will come over and they're very nice, listen to the show, hate the show, whatever. So some guy comes over. He comes right down to business.
I was right there.
Tiki was sitting right next to me. He says, Evan, I need a favor.
I was shocked. I'm surprised you did it.
He looks at me and says, my mom forgot her scorebook at home. Is there any way you can rip a page out of your book? And I can imagine what you're thinking.
I'm like, there's no way this is happening.
Well, my Bob Carpenter book is 200 games, and I only use it for the regular season. I've never gotten to 200 games. There's only 162 Met games, so it would take a lot of scoring for me to get to 200.
Well,
so
what's the postseason?
Well, I do a different book for the postseason.
Oh, got it. So I'm cleared
on the postseason. So I don't know if the guy knows it. Clearly, Tiki doesn't know it because he's like, oh, my God, this guy just asked Evan to rip a page out of his book. And I looked at him and said, you know what? Luckily, I'm not going to get close to the 200. I go right to the back of the book.
You did say that.
And I said, this is your lucky day. And I ripped that bad boy out. I handed it to him, and I felt like a hero. And how about that person? The balls of that person to come down.
And I wondered if he only did it because it was you.
Like he was pranking me?
No, like he just knew you would have your scorebook.
I'm a loser.
Because was there nobody else scoring in the entire area? I mean, maybe not.
Maybe,
I don't know.
But also to assume I would be okay ripping a page out of my book, because that does sound crazy. Now, when I explain it and say, hey, it's 200 games, I'm not getting to 200, it's no biggie, to quote the great Tommy Lugo, it's no biggie, but I don't know if he knows that.
No, you're right.
But he literally asked, and I'm telling you, I've been asked many weird questions over my time at Citi Field. No one has ever asked me to rip out a page of my scorebook so they could score.
Right.
And I did it with a smile. I feel so proud of myself. Now, let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees in a few minutes, including if Devin Williams has earned your trust back. Let's go to Josh in Bergen County. Good afternoon, Josh.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Awesome. So I just want to bring up something about the win stat and how I feel like it's not as important anymore because it's very reliant on how the rest of your team performs. I don't know if you remember. I know me as a Yankee fan, I certainly remember Domingo Germán's career with us. Very up, very down, very weird. In 2019, I believe it was, he only pitched 140 innings to a 4 ERA, but finished the season with 18 wins before he got suspended for the domestic violence incident.
Yep.
So I just figured I'd bring that up as a prime example of wins don't exactly tell the story of a good pitcher.
It doesn't. And it took a while for it to die because one of the great debates, and it involves CC Sabathia, I admit it, I think I brought it up to him when he was on with us, was the old CC versus King Felix Cy Young debate from over a decade ago.
Right.
And no offense to CC, I was on King Felix's side because I thought Felix Hernandez had all the numbers that made him the American League Cy Young Award winner, except for wins. Mm. Because the Mariners never gave him run support. The Yankees were tremendous.
Right.
And I thought that that debate led to the beginning of the thawing on people being obsessed with wins. And then Zach Greinke won a Cy Young without winning games. Obviously, Jacob deGrom. And now in 2025, I believe it's dead. It went from being a debate to it's not even a debate.
Yeah, nobody like, even really talks about it anymore.
Not at all. I don't even know
if I consider it.
I don't, certainly. Like, if I asked you guys, like,
when I go look at pitcher stats, the first thing I look at is ERA, ERA+, things like that.
Right.
I don't look at wins.
You never look at it. And then that just proves that like everything's changed. I mean, Paul Skenes is having a very good year with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's likely to win the National League Cy Young, but if it was 15 years ago, he wouldn't have had a chance to win the Cy Young because of the amount of wins he has. You know, it really has changed. So I think that that debate used to be one. I don't think it is anymore, which is why caring about the tag team of pitchers and how it impacts that stat feels foolish. Paul Skenes, by the way, 10 wins, 10 losses, 2.03 ERA. And it is never brought up in the discussion in terms of who should win the Cy Young. It's all about innings, ERA, strikeouts, whip, all the stats that Paul Skenes has above everybody else by a country mile. Same thing in the American League. Like, Tarik Skubal's going to win the American League Cy Young. He has 13 wins. Max Fried and Carlos Rodon have more. You don't even hear Yankee fans say, well, Skubal should win. He doesn't win games. Like, no one will ever even say that.
No. It's totally different. 10 years ago, I would have been locked in. 20-game winners this. Who cares how many wins they have?
Carlos in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Hey, Carlos.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. What's happening?
Hey, Evan, listen, yes. I didn't know you were so talented. I cannot imagine myself going to the bathroom, do number one, and not even touch it. It's like, listen, it's like washing your dishes. You get the sponge, you wash it, then you put it back without squeezing it.
Dribble, 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 dribble.
Well, I've got some talents, right. Carlos. Thank you.
Well, listen, what do you guys think about the name Home Nia 244?
Home Nia? I like Home Nia, by the way. Mm. I don't know what's the 2-for-4 about.
Yeah, you got homes first. I like that.
Well, they're both pitching 4 innings, right?
Oh, I gotcha. 2-for-4. Oh. Yeah. That's not bad.
2x4.
The innings thing can change, but I like Home Nia. Look, we live in a world now where when two people date, we take their names and we combine them, like Bennifer.
Yes.
Who are the two people that were Bennifer?
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Aniston.
It wasn't Jennifer Garner?
I thought it was Jennifer Lopez.
Wasn't Jennifer Lopez?
A lot of Jennifers.
I think it was J-Lo.
Wait, did he date all those Jennifer? Was it all Jennifer?
I think he was married to Jennifer Garner, married to Jennifer Lopez. I don't think he was ever with Jennifer Aniston. I think that one's completely
wrong.
He was
never with Jennifer Aniston.
It is, yeah, it's Jennifer Lopez. Wow.
Yeah. But he was married to Jennifer Garner, right?
Yes. Oh, or they dated at least when he did the blind crime fighter true story.
I thought they got married and they had something that they called an uncoupling. Like, they came up with a term to describe getting divorced without using those words. They're like, oh, we're uncoupling. Huh. Yeah. Huh. Am I making that up or am I really up on my pop culture?
No, but I remember that phrase coming into existence, and I don't remember why.
Yeah. But that's what we do now. We take two people that love each other, and we just mix their names together.
Or conveniently are together for movie purposes.
Or that, yeah. Like, instead of calling us Evan and Tiki, you could take both of our names and combine them.
Yes.
Like Rhabarber.
What?
Rhabarber. Robber. Robber.
Tiven. Tiven.
Tikovin.
Tiven.
Tikovin?
He plays right wing for the Rangers.
Let's go to Javier in Comac. What's up, Javier?
What's up, Javi?
Did I hear correctly? You wanted to use the combination of Mania and Holmes as Mahomes?
Yes, you did say that.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Why?
I'm going to tell you. Don't do it. Because in Spanish, a slang term for a turd is a mojón. The last thing you want to do is have that combination, crap the bed, and then you say, oh, Mahomes, crap the bed.
Oh, wow.
Well,
that's good. That's good intel, Javier.
Guess what? There's going to be days where that happens. There's going to be days where that nickname is going to be apropos. I'm very nervous to take this call because I'll leave it up to Sean. Do you want to hear Ozzy and Woodbridge's tag team nicknames?
Yeah, sure. Oz is due for a bounce back here.
He's due for a bounce back.
Come on, Oz.
Ozzy and Woodbridge.
Believe in you, brother.
Hello, fellas. How you doing?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
Nickname day. Number one, it's ironic the Tribal Chief was involved in the first Major League tag team. One for one so far?
Yeah, okay, not bad. No, not bad.
Like it.
Sean doesn't get it, but that's okay.
No, I get it. It's a wrestling thing. Oz, don't ask for the score until you're done.
Oh, okay, all right. It's like one of your Cinco de Fazos. It's the same thing. Just let it ride. I got you. Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Lindor, the Queens Quad Squad.
Oh, ooh.
Okay.
Queens Quad Squad? What? Say that again?
Queens Quad Squad.
Queens Quad Squad.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A lot of Qs.
Like the Mod Squad, bro.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
They don't know. They don't know what the Mod Squad is, though.
Yeah, I know. Evan,
they're not our age. They don't know.
Yeah, the big 5-0,
right? That's right.
Nice lane in life. We're doing all right, all right, all right. Tong and Senga, the Orient Express. And now the finale, Holmes and Mania, Clay and the Chief, C squared, which is also the speed of life.
He's so proud of himself, yet it was awful.
The ABS system would rule out a strikeout.
I love how proud he is, though. He's like, yeah, look what I did. Isaac is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Isaac?
What's up, guys? I don't think you realized what you said yesterday, but at about, I don't know, 3 o'clock, if you guys want, you can pull up the tape. I want to call you guys out. Wait till I'm done. Wait till I'm done. You'll hear it. You didn't sound so smart yesterday. You guys asked at maybe about 3:15, whether the Jets or Giants are going to have a win by week 4, which would be about September 28th, if I'm correct. And then about an hour later, you guys were talking about in the debate whether the Yankees and Mets will be eliminated before the Giants and Jets have a win. And if I remember, you guys were saying that the Giants and Jets will have a win by week 4, which means the baseball teams will both still be playing by September 28th.
So I will help you out on this. I will help you. Let me re-explain the discussion yesterday, and I will tell you how it's easily understandable why you misheard it, two different conversations, but we were actually not wrong. The first question that I asked about an hour ago, 24 hours ago, was, will the Jets or Giants win a game before the calendar turns to October? Yes. Just one.
Yes.
Just anybody. And we went back and forth on it.
Yes. I said yes. I said both. Sean said both.
I said one, maybe the Jets. I think the Giants are going to lose to the Chiefs and the Chargers. I think the Jets are going to lose to the Bucs. They better beat the Miami Dolphins. So that was, will one of them win a game before the calendar turns? The next question a few hours later, unrelated, was what will happen first? Both teams have a win versus both baseball teams are eliminated. So for Tiki and Sean, who thought both football teams would win in September, obviously, that would mean football.
Yes.
I didn't say the Giants were going to win a game in September.
So you're still waiting on the Giants to play, maybe beat the Saints or whoever else comes out.
That's what's so tricky. That's what's tricky. The Eagles, the Broncos.
Right.
The Eagles again, because they play them twice in 3 weeks. Yep. Like the Giants, it could get dicey. Now, I hope I'm wrong, because as much as you may think I'm a hater right now, I swear I'm not.
No.
I'm just being perfectly honest. So I think the Giants could go a long time before they get a victory. So I understand the confusion, but it was two different discussions. It was A, is either team going to win a game before the calendar flips? And then B, will both teams win a game before both baseball teams are eliminated?
Right.
And that's where things stand right now. All I know is that that's the state of football in New York, that we're having discussions like that. And we're not sure if they're going to get a win before the calendar flips. But there is some news around the Jets. The Buccaneers are dealing with a lot of injuries. And we know that Justin Fields officially will not start on Sunday. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We'll get to the Yankees in a few minutes, including Devin Williams' trust. And more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019 around the Mets, the tag team ideas, and if that's really going to be the future of baseball. The Yankee game last night caused a lot of emotions, to say the least. When you're up 10-1, you think it's going to be easy. And then all of a sudden, it's not 10-1. And it's 10-7, it's 10-8, it's 10-9. But the Yankees did win last night, and they gained a game on the Boston Red Sox as they try to lock down the number one wild card spot. The number one thing I took out of last night's Yankee survival is Devin Williams, because he did it again. Ever since Devin Williams had the implosion against Houston, Devin Williams has now made 4 consecutive appearances, all in close games, all in what they called hold situations, basically a save situation.
Yeah.
And he has responded every time. And think about who he did it against. A scoreless inning and a win against the Blue Jays. A scoreless inning and a win against the Red Sox. A scoreless inning and a win against the Red Sox. And then even last night, I know it's the Twins, but that could have been like an all-time loss.
Right.
So Devin Williams has put together 4 consecutive really good performances. And when you factor that in along with the state of the Yankee bullpen, hasn't Devin Williams earned the trust back?
I mean, in a sense, but only because who else are you trusting? The challenge is that we've seen this before. We've seen him get kind of right again. And then the next thing you know, he's in another big high leverage situation and he falters. That's why you, as good as he's been as of late, you don't really trust it. Like, you believe in it because he's done it, but you also don't trust it.
And to your point, you don't have any other choice but to trust it.
Right.
Even if you don't trust it, because Luke Weaver's an issue right now.
Yep.
And, you know, Mark Leiter Jr. was weird yesterday. He ended up getting some really big outs. He also came like an inch away from giving up a game-tying home run.
Yeah.
So I don't know how
that was the warning track. That was at the back of the warning track.
Oh, dude, I thought off the bat it was gone. And no one trusts Mark Leiter Jr. I mean, so despite the good that he kind of gave you yesterday, it's kind of Devin Williams by default at this point.
It is Devin Williams by default. And then... The playoffs, does he rise to the occasion? That's what you hope for. That's the only thing you can hope for, is that come playoff time, he rises to the occasion. All of those troubles that plagued him intermittently throughout this regular season just go away, and he's Devin Williams that you acquired because you thought he was one of the best closers in the game. I don't trust that. I don't think any Yankee fan does, but Aaron Boone doesn't have a choice.
You don't trust him, but right now, who do you trust more on the trust tree, Devin Williams or Luke Weaver?
The problem is we saw it from Luke a year ago.
I know we did. We've seen more from Luke Weaver as a Yankee than we have Devin Williams, but yeah. Luke Weaver's also had some very, very bad moments recently. Mm. So who do you trust more?
We're week to week, I think.
Yeah.
Here's the irony.
Week to week, day to day.
Ask me in a day.
Yeah. The irony of Devin Williams is kind of a microcosm of the Yankees themselves. You don't trust the Yankees to get through the American League, just like you don't trust Devin Williams to get the big outs. But when comparing them to their peers, Devin Williams and the other guys in the bullpen, you kind of have no choice to trust them. When you compare the Yankees to the other teams in the American League, again, you find themselves in a spot where I guess I feel like I do trust them. Mm-hmm. So it's, you don't trust Devin Williams, you don't trust the Yankees, but when comparing what you have to trust them against, you trust them.
Right. He just confused the crap out of me.
I know that was confusing, but I know it made
Comparatively speaking, it's hard to trust anybody, is what he's saying. But you're right about Devin Williams. The last four outings, he's been fine.
He's responded.
Right.
And again, think about the competition. Two games against the Red Sox, a game against the Blue Jays, and I know last night's the Minnesota Twins, but you lose that game last night.
Yeah.
We're having a very different conversation today. I mean, Yankee fans are freaking out if they lose that game last night.
See, the thing is, it's the Houston game I think we overreact because of who he got bombed against, and it was Houston.
And remember, he also had major issues with the umpire and some of the calls in that game. Not to make an excuse, but just to remind people what he was going through.
Right, but if I want to be fair, if you have to go all the way back to August 8th, when it was the last time he gave up two runs or more, and then he had, six, seven, eight straight outings where he was fine, right? He maybe had some walks in there, but he was fine. He didn't give up any runs.
Right.
Then Chicago, he gives up a run. That is what it is, whatever. It's the White Sox. But then he gets bombed against Houston.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, we believe it's Devin Williams that you don't trust anymore. But since that point, he's been great.
And funnily enough, even before that, he had a stretch, like you mentioned, in August where he was pitching well until really that Houston game.
Yes.
So in his last 14 appearances, he's given up runs in only two of those 14 games.
Right.
The Houston one, and then he gave up some runs in the Chicago game. He blew that game, but the Yankees won anyway, so everybody was okay with it. But the other 12 performances he's had, he's either gotten the save, he's gotten the hold, or he's just pitched well. So it's actually like an extended stretch where he's been more good than bad.
No doubt
about
it. I
think the bad taste, though, is very difficult to get out of one's mouth.
Well, and again, I think that's because it was Houston. It was the Astros.
Yeah, but he responded against the Blue Jays and the Red Sox.
Of course. But if it's not the Astros, we don't even, it's like, all right, whatever, he had a bad day.
It was also really bad. And it was
tossed and everything else, and it was bad.
But I do remember, you know, after that game against the Astros, and I think I even said this on the radio, and I certainly wasn't the only one saying, hey, Booney, you can't use this guy in a high-leverage spot. Well, obviously he has to.
Of course
I mean,
does.
When you look at this bullpen right now, David Bednar's done a really good job where you trust him.
Yeah.
And I think come postseason time, you're going to ask David Bednar to get five outs, dare I say six outs.
Right. But he might scare you sometimes because he'll give up a home run here or there.
He's not perfect.
But.
He's not, no offense, no one will ever be Mariano Rivera, so that's not like the fair comp.
Right.
But he's not like lockdown. He's just clearly the best of their options, and he's done a really good job since he got here.
Mm-hmm.
Like even last night, he gave up the home run, but whatever. He had a two-run lead.
Right.
No big deal. He got the next two guys out. But after David Bednar, outside of David Bednar, there isn't a lot you can trust. Tim Hill in the right lane, sure. But Luke Weaver is all over the place. Sean said it. It's week to week, day to day. Devin Williams is going to have to be a big part of the New York Yankee bullpen come playoff time.
Yeah, I think you're just going to have to trust Devin Williams over Luke Weaver. Because Luke Weaver looks like he's lost.
And the question one has to ask themselves, and this is
such he hasn't corrected it like Devin.
No. I mean, his last appearance was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound like such a negative question. But I only ask it, Sean, because of the way you've talked.
Okay.
Not me. This is your fault, what I'm about to ask.
Sure, blame me.
You've been very clear that the Yankees are going to get eliminated.
Yes.
Very clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, when it all ends...
how do you want it to end?
How is it going to end? Not how do you want it to end. In our sleep is usually the answer.
Oh, you know how it's ending.
It's going to end with what? Devin Williams? Is it going to end with just the bullpen in general? Is it going to end with the offense getting shut down? Like, how does this end that the last taste in your mouth on the Yankee failure of 2025 is going to be what?
In their do-or-die game, the Yankees will have a lead. They will feel comfortable. They will bring in Devin Williams. And Anthony Volpe will commit an error in the field while Devin Williams is on the mound. Devin Williams will then begin to melt down as a result of said error. Yankees go listlessly, ending on an Aaron Judge strikeout in that last inning. And that's how the season ends.
That's very specific and depressing.
He's very specific to Volpe.
I know.
You can have everything. All there, right? Bullpen implosion that starts with Volpe not being able to field, and your best hitter that we've been counting on every year in October, you hope can come through, strikes out the end of the year.
So it's everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything, Yankee bingo. Everything that you've been worrying about for the last, basically, year.
Yeah. You know what? Throw in the third inning, Jazz will get ejected.
Jazz is too cool to get ejected.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. Listen, this Yankees bullpen right now is filled with garbage time pitchers. And that is a serious problem come the postseason. Because guess what? They're not winning games 10-0 in the postseason. All right? Like, this is where everybody's pitching at their highest level. So my proposal at this point, you got a guy in Cam Schlittler right now that is the only human being that I would trust in a high-leverage situation late in the game other than David Bednar. Mm. You guys made the perfect point of Bednar being there probably for 5 to 6 outs in a game. I couldn't agree more. You know who's getting those 3 outs right before him? Cam Schlittler.
I mean, that's a good idea.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, need an
because, look, he's not going to be in the starting rotation. So it makes sense if we're a young kid, don't put so much pressure on him like the Mets are going to have to do with Nolan McClain to go be a great starter at what in whatever round, whether it's a wild card, probably not the wild card, but divisional round. So put him in the bullpen.
Oh, no doubt.
Let him throw gas for however many outs he needs to get.
He's already throwing gas. We saw it in yesterday's game. But instead of asking Cam Schlittler to fight you through 5 innings, now you're saying, go get me 3 outs.
Yes.
And potentially, that's all it is.
Right.
Because if Max Fried goes deep into a game, or Carlos Rodon goes deep into a game, and I look at them and say, they're giving me 6.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're giving me 7, but they're giving me 6. Right. So now, how do I get those last 9 outs?
Well,
we mentioned Bednar could get 5 or 6
of them. Forget that. Let's say one of these guys doesn't get deep into a game.
Mm.
You got your piggyback.
Wow.
True.
But that, hey, Cam, you're not going to be a starter in the wild card round. Be ready for the piggyback.
That's less than ideal for the Yankees.
Of
it makes
it
sense
is,
but... for the Mets. But when it's Max Fried and Carlos Rodon who are going to get 2 starts in the wild card series, or they're each getting a start in the wild card series, I should say, you don't want a piggyback or a tag team.
That's
go get me 6 or 7,
just
bro.
Just in case, because you're not using Cam Schlittler as a starter.
So who's the third starter then?
Will Warren. I already sold you this.
So let's walk through this then, Teague. Game 1,
mm-hmm.
Yankees Astros, because if the season ends today, it's the Astros. So let's stick with them for now.
Yep, Max Fried shuts them down.
Max Fried game one.
Shuts them down. Devin Williams gets two perfect innings.
Well, hold on.
He gets three innings, and he closes out the game for the save.
One at a time. The starting pitcher for game one.
Max Fried.
Is Max Fried.
Yes.
The starting pitcher for game two.
Carlos Rodon.
You got it all wrong, bro.
I hate your plan.
My plan is brilliant.
My plan is to just win the damn series.
Oh.
Get it over with. Don't try to, hey, you know what? If we lose the second one, at least we have the guy who's the best, most wins in baseball to win the third one.
No. See, you're
don't
phrasing.
Give me that nonsense.
You're phrasing it unfairly towards me.
There's too many off days for me to worry about that.
Well, no, it's not about off days. It's about the fact that Will Warren is the third starter. Is that where we're going here?
Yes.
Not Luis Hill?
If Heel has, how many more starts is Heel going to get?
Two?
Yeah.
I mean, he was floating a no-hitter last time out.
Right. I know. So if he gets another, one of the next two is another great start, I could go with Luis Hill.
Let's say it's Luis Hill.
Okay.
He's already made a postseason start in his career. Will Warren is still a rookie.
Okay. Of course.
All right. So it's Luis Hill. I would start in game one, Luis Hill. Just hear me out before anybody attacks me. All right. Okay. If I win game one, actually, wait, I want to take all that back. I apologize. I'm going to word it incorrectly. I'm going to start Carlos Rodon in game one. Okay? That's my game one starter. If I win game one, I go for the kill with Luis Hill. If it works, great. I got Max Fried ready to go for the division series. And if it doesn't work, in a winner take all, I have the guy with more postseason experience than almost anybody pitching in the American League playoffs in Max Fried. If I lose game one with Carlos Rodon, I go right to Max Fried. And so I leave open the possibility that if I'm playing a winner-take-all game, I'm using the guy I trust the most versus trusting a Luis Hill or a Will Warren in a winner-take-all game three. So let me be specific. It's Rodon who pitches game one, sets the tone. If he gets me a victory, I go to Warren for the kill or Hill for the kill. If I lose, break glass in case of emergency, all right, Max Fried, go even up the series. And then, yes, my game three starter less than ideal. But I position myself where I may either not use Max Fried in the first round because I advanced, or I'm saving him for a winner-take-all. Tell me how that's not brilliant.
I mean, of course it is.
Thank you.
But I'd rather just get the series over with.
But you may do it anyway. You may get the series over with anyway.
Okay. All right.
But you're guaranteeing, Teak, if there's a game three, you're starting someone you trust less than your other two guys. I'm not. I'm giving myself a shot to have the guy starting game three be somebody that I really, really trust.
Okay.
What if the opponent counteracts there?
I don't care about the opponent. What are the Astros going to do that's going to scare me?
I'm just saying.
What, are they going into a time machine and getting Justin Verlander from 8 years ago? They're not. He's a stiff pitching for the Giants today. That's what he is. What's the score of that game, by the way? Let me take a look. They're playing the Diamondbacks.
4-4 last time.
Now, 0-0, bottom of the first.
Well, which game was I looking at?
Pirates-Cubs.
That's right.
Which Pirates-Cubs. We don't care about. Maybe you do. Maybe you have fantasy implications.
No.
Well, do you not like my idea, Sean?
No, I'm intrigued by your idea, but I could totally see Rodon getting lit up in a game one and then Max Fried being thrown off routine, something like
thrown
that.
Thrown off routine? He's just pitching game two.
I know, but you know how these pitchers
are. Thrown off routine? He's just pitching game two, and he better win it. Let's go to Chris in Freeport. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
First and foremost, Tiki, I was a huge fan of the Giants in your era.
Thank you, man.
It's an honor. Thank you for taking my call. So here's my situation with Devin Williams, and maybe you guys can talk me off the ledge. I like the guy. I honestly think that he's honest in his interviews. People get on him because he's like, woe is me. I think he's got unbelievable stuff. But I just can't find a common thread in the issues. Like, oh, at the beginning, he was new to the Yankees.
Yeah.
The pressure of New York. He figured it out, but then arbitrarily unfigured it out. So, I don't know. I like him. I really want to believe in him. And I love the idea about starting Rodon. Just wanted to say that. But that's where the trust barometer is. It's confused. And can't find the common thread, can't figure itself out.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's just, it's somewhat frustrating because they don't all look the same. It's not the same, he's walking too many guys or he's giving up too many hard hit balls. It's, or whatever. It's never the same thing. It's always something different with Devin Williams, it feels like. And so does it all come together and then he's great when it matters? That's all you can hope for.
He has made three appearances in his postseason career, all obviously with Milwaukee, and two of them were disasters. So there is worry about the big moment. And that's kind of been the thread I've been leaning on, that maybe the big moment is just too big for him.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out, because he's getting the baseball in a very big moment in just a couple of weeks. There's no doubt about that. Jesse's in Lawrence. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
All right, so I want to make a quick take about the Yankees, and then, if possible, I have a super quick take about football. I know it's not football time, but I've been trying to stay for like 5 days. So I want to hear what you guys think.
It's always football time, so don't worry about that. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Then I'm so excited about it, I'm going to say it first.
Yeah.
All right. The Chiefs offense needs a spark so badly, and Tyreek Hill is the most frustrated player in the league right now. Tua can't hit him. Either one, he's wide open. What do you guys think if Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs go out and trade for Tyreek Hill back?
It makes sense.
It does.
But... I mean, honestly, like, if you're the Dolphins, why the hell not?
Right.
What's the issue? The salary cap? I don't know. Fungible.
It's fungible. I don't care about the salary cap. I'm thinking more, does that help Mike McDaniel keep his job?
Well, I think this would be more a post-Mike McDaniel move. Like, yeah, he's gone, Greer's gone.
Foregone conclusion.
And they're blowing it up.
Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I would tell you, Sean, save that audio, because I think that may happen.
Yeah.
I would not rule out that possibility.
I agree.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Plus, Justin Fields officially out. Our thoughts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.